Oh, God, why did you do that?
I feel like I'm doing everything wrong today.
I mean, how many times do I have to tell you?
Welcome to the Perfect Album Side. One idea, six songs, infinite possibilities.
This is the Perfect Album Side Podcast. My name is Steve. His name is Wyndham. Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome, Wyndham.
Thank you. I feel welcomed today. Like, I feel so embraced getting this started today.
More so than normal?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more needy today.
I don't see how that's possible.
Let's be honest, me neither.
Today on the Perfect Album Side Podcast, we are going to build the perfect album side of artists or bands that have been unjustly snubbed by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They should be in the Hall of Fame, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members said, no, you will not get in.
No, even if you think you're going to, this is considered a snub.
You will be snubbed. And so this is the perfect album side of artists that have been tragically left out of that sacred hall.
Well, and we have recent news from the Rock Hall.
We're coming up on, they've just announced the 2022 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I can see you feverishly working with your thumbs to pull up that list, are you not?
This is a big deal, and let me just rattle some off, and we did this last year.
Nothing I love more than when you rattle. I've always said that.
We did this last year. I'm going to give you some names. I just want yes or no should be in.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right, go.
I know the first one, the first two. This podcast will end soon if you say no. Pat Benatar.
Of course.
Duran Duran.
Yes.
Eminem.
Yes.
Eurythmics.
Yes.
Dolly Parton.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yes, they should be in. Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Carly Simon.
Yes.
Harry Belafonte.
I would really need to put thought into that one. I think so. I mean,
I don't believe put thought into that one was one of the eligible responses.
I got to say no to somebody, but I'm going to say yes to Harry Belafonte.
Judas Priest.
Yep.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
No.
Okay, and the rest I don't know, but I don't know. Sylvia Robinson.
No.
Jimmy Iovine.
Iovine. I don't know.
I'm just Alan Grubman.
No.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up. Now let's get to the ones that are snubbed. Stone Cold.
Well, you mentioned Pat Benatar, and her name has come up many times on the Perfect Album Side podcast, and I think each time I have said, how in the hell is she not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? But they have corrected the error in their ways, and she will be inducted this year.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Duran Duran.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but to me, you're right. Pat Benatar has been the snub of snubs until this most recent announcement. I mean, they haven't been inducted yet.
I've got six on my perfect album side that I believe are the snub of snubs.
Oh, is that right? I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah. Should we start? I just FYI, I did send out a tweet just like a few minutes ago to the Twitter universe. So they are already chiming in on bands or artists that should be included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we'll get to that towards the end of the episode. If you are ready, I am ready to commence.
Yeah, I'm ready. One criteria that I want to mention,
shoot,
at the onset here, I did not choose artists who were already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by way of either a group previously or a solo career previously. So if this is somebody that's not in because of a group, but yet they were inducted from a solo act prior, or not inducted as a solo artist, but previously inducted as a group, I did not consider them snubbed.
Okay. And I want to get the criteria based on what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame says. They said there's only truly one
criteria.
The only formal criteria for the performance category is that an artist has to have had their first record released 25 years ago or more. So your first album has got to be 25 years old to even be considered. But that's the only criteria. They went on to say that, you know, they don't use record sales. They don't use Grammys. They don't use awards. It's all about this one committee that's based in New York City. They get together and discuss what importance this artist or band had on what they call the big picture of rock and roll.
Yeah, the longevity of rock and roll. What impact and influence has this nominee, if they're eligible, right, then they're officially a nominee, is what impact and influence they have on the longevity and development of rock and roll.
They said, unlike baseball, football, basketball, or hockey, statistics are not relevant, which I brought a lot of statistics to
mind. I did too, and yeah. I don't agree with that.
That's nonsense. So, obviously the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm sure it's a great honor to every artist that's in there. I do take some umbrage with the fact that it's just basically run by a committee of faceless people that we don't know who determine who makes it and who not. It's not based on the fans. It's not based on artists that are already in. It's not based on any stats. It's based on a committee of dudes sitting in an office in New York.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into some of the folks that are actually on the nomination committee or rumored to be, because I don't know if they officially
released
that.
They're not faceless. I think they're listed. I think
some people know who they are, but they try to keep it somewhat confidential. But we're going to get into that. I have a feeling.
I'll give out their home addresses later.
Oh, home addresses? Yes.
Yeah. All right. Shall we begin?
Please commence.
All right. The very first song on my... One more thing. I apologize. Again, not the perfect album side of Steve's favorite artists or bands. Not the perfect album side of Wyndham's favorite artists or bands. Although they could be. This is. I tried to be as objective as possible. It's not always my favorite. One or two may have snuck in that are personal favorites, but for the most part, I was trying to be objective.
Yeah, same. And I've got a couple of artists and songs on here that I like a lot, but I try to justify it with some of the statistics that we're not supposed to use.
Here we go. The first song on my perfect album side. Sweet stylings of Iron Maiden.
Put the song in the Iron Maiden.
The song Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden. Before I commence speaking about Iron Maiden, let's talk about Over Under. We often forget to do that till later in the show. I believe that we will have at least two of the same artists on our list.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask. You're talking artist overlap.
I think we will have two artists that overlap.
I'm going to say more than that. I think we should have three.
All right. Well, let's get started.
I think we should have three.
You think we should have three. I think we should have two. The first one I selected was Iron Maiden, the song, one of their biggest hits, Run to the Hills. Let me go ahead and ask, is Iron Maiden on your perfect album side?
Mentioned, but not on my perfect album side.
Then I take it back. We will have one overlap, okay, and that's it. I thought Iron Maiden was a shoe-in. And I can't believe
I talk about Iron Maiden, but they're not on my perfect album side.
All right, so Iron Maiden, they've had 41 albums, including 17 studio.
That's astonishing.
17 studio albums, 13 live albums. That to me is astonishing. They've had 13 live albums.
And those are released. We're not talking bootlegs or someone standing in the crowd with a microphone. These are released live albums. That's
41
amazing.
41 records released. 17 studio albums, 13 live albums, 4 EPs, 7 compilations. They've released 47 singles and 20 video albums. I thought that's crazy, first of all, to have that. I mean, over a span of 40 years, hell of a career.
Yeah, those are real stats. So forget what the Hall says. They don't use stats like baseball or basketball or football, whatever. Those are unignorable.
I agree. Not only have they released 41 albums, but by 2017, they had sold over 100 million copies of these albums. 100 million copies.
Does the Rock Hall have a bias or a tilt against the heavier bands?
there has long been a belief that, yes, they are anti-heavy metal for whatever reason. Now, yep. Other heavy metal artists have gotten in, but for some reason Iron Maiden is not. And Iron Maiden, hell, they almost invented that genre.
Yeah, Judas Priest just got in.
Yeah, following in the footsteps of Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC, Iron Maiden took it to a whole other level.
They sure did.
And really led that genre and influenced 1 million other bands. And if you want to talk about, okay, we're not looking at statistics and we're not looking at awards and all that stuff, well, what they did for music, you know, it may not be the music for everybody, but they influenced 1,000 different successful bands.
I totally agree, 100%. And I also look at it like, if Judas Priest got in, deservingly got in, Iron Maiden should have been in long ago.
Period. Absolutely. To me, this was the very first one that I thought of was Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden has been snubbed for a very long time, perhaps the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's most outrageous snub, in my opinion. 40 years, 100 million albums, their influence was massive. Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, and I like that song. So that's it.
It's a very good song.
And you first song on my perfect album side.
I don't listen to enough Iron Maiden, to be honest with you.
Hello, my name is James McMahon. I've been a music journalist for over 20 years. I used to be the features editor of UK Music Bible NME. I was the editor of the greatest rock magazine on the planet, Kerrang. I've interviewed, deep breath, U2, Paul McCartney, Coldplay, Metallica, My Chemical Romance, Brian Eno, Muse, Iron Maiden, Lily Allen, Smashing Pumpkins, Rage Against the Machine. Oh, I could be here all day. And if you like deep, informed interviews with the biggest and most interesting acts in music, you need to be listening to my podcast, conveniently named the James McMahon Music Podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, podcasts.
You know what? I don't either, yeah. To be honest. It's, you know, heavy metal wasn't necessarily my bag, although I like it.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden, I've come to appreciate later in life. Not yeah. when I was not when I was 15 and 16 and angry at the world, yeah. But now that I'm 47 years old, I'm like, oh yeah, Iron Maiden.
And I almost think Iron Maiden pioneered those black rock t-shirts. Remember, I used to see Iron Maiden t-shirts everywhere growing
hell
up.
Yeah. They've had the same character on their t-shirts and every album cover for 40 years. His name is Eddie.
That's incredible. Yeah. Now that's why you tune in to the Perfect Album Side podcast.
Eddie, the terrifying motherfucker on the front of all ooh. Iron Maiden albums.
That's his official name, actually.
Eddie.
Well, the whole terrifying thing.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that he was originally designed by Derek Riggs.
Okay.
So, Derek, wherever you are, nice job on Eddie. That was the first song on my Perfect Album Side. What is the first song on yours, my man?
To me, this is the biggest snub in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame history. That's also the bold comment of the day.
That is a bold comment.
Now this is, if you've been living under a rock, this is George Michael, Careless Whisper, off Make It Big, 1984. Now listen, this is a little bit of a gray area, because Make It Big is a Wham record. But this is considered a George Michael solo song.
But it's on a Wham record?
It was written before Wham was even put together. Andrew Ridgely does play the guitar on this song.
Does Andrew Ridgely have songwriting credits on this
tune? No, only George Michael does.
Okay.
And it's considered a George Michael solo song. I looked all over the place to find somebody to say this was a Wham song.
So George Michael is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
Obviously, Wham is not either.
Zing. George Michael is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
One thing about this song real quick, and then I'll let you talk more about George Michael. Is there a more famous saxophone solo in the last 40 years?
You know, he talks about the sax solo, and that's really what makes the song.
I mean, outside of Baker Street, is there a more well-known sax solo?
I mean, Clarence Clemons is looking down upon you saying,
Clarence does.
Oh, wait a minute.
He does one in every Springsteen song, but I would argue this one and Baker Street are the most recognizable.
I would put Born to Run in there somewhere. I'm not saying it would be ahead of either of those.
Sounds like you are.
But I would say Born to Run is in there somewhere.
George Michael.
So, George Michael wrote this song before Wham even existed. Andrew Ridley was part of it. We said that. I really did dig deep into this, see what the story was. Song was written originally in 1981. It hit number one and dominated the charts all over the world.
Number one hit!
Number one hit. But here's the deal. This was one of many number one hits.
Many.
Many. Mucho. More than one by George Michael. How on earth is George Michael not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Let me make a case, if you will, Stone Cold.
I'm all ears.
Is he too pop? I mean, he's no more pop than Depeche Mode, class of 2020.
Oh, wow.
He's no more pop than Hall & Oates, class of 2014.
Okay.
Okay, you can push back on that one.
Well, I mean, Hall & Oates, although they became popular, I mean, their music was based on the Temptations. I mean, that's R&B and rock.
Okay. Is he more pop than Whitney Houston?
Negative.
Class of 2020? Let me run through the hits. How much time do we have?
You've got enough.
Careless Whisper,
yeah.
Careless Whisper, number one. I Knew You Were Waiting, number one, but with Aretha.
Yep.
Faith, number one. Father Figure, number one. Freedom, number eight. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, number one. Collab with Elton John, of course, a reboot. I Want Your Sex, number two. Monkey, number one. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of number one hits.
He had a number one album with Faith. It won a Grammy. I don't get this one. Now, I'm going to pause. I'm going to take a page out of the Stone Cold playbook. I'm going to pause for a moment and ask you the question that everybody wants to know. Is this on your...
Oh, no.
Don't tell me.
George Michael is not on my perfect album side. Yes. Artists that have been snubbed. But in all honesty, I just didn't think of him. It just didn't occur to me that he wasn't in the hall. I think that he should. Now, part of what you bring up is, you know, is he rock enough? Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has said, look, it's not rock and roll. It's popular music. They should rename it the Hall of Fame of Popular Music is what they really should call it. You know, they've got, look at Eminem. I mean, this year's
nominee. I don't consider Janet Jackson to be rock.
Have you not heard Black Cat? What are you, crazy? It's like Janet goes metal.
I love it when Janet goes metal.
Who doesn't? George Michael, in my opinion, belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I applaud you for that. And no, I just didn't think of George Michael.
I think he does. I think he does belong. All the things that I just threw out there, plus throw in some of the Wham stuff.
I mean, Wake Me Up Before You Freaking Go-Go? Are
before
you kidding
you
me?
Freaking Go-Go.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, this is a travesty. George Michael, Careless Whisper, should be in the Hall of Fame, but does make my perfect album side Stone Cold.
Outstanding. As we move on to the seconds.
I thought that was on yours for sure. My over-under just took a massive hit.
Yeah, so far. Here we go. The next song on my perfect album side of artists who have been snubbed by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Once again, not a rock and roll band or rock and roll artist.
One, two, three, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door? Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the
thought of love is Hey Ya is the name of this song, obviously. The band Outkast, or the duo of Outkast, consisting of Andre 3000 and Anton Big Boy Patton, Atlanta's own Outkast.
Yeah.
First of all, I couldn't believe that it had been 25 years. It's been closer to 30 years.
That's incredible.
Which I felt really, really old when I realized that. To me, Outkast just got here a few minutes ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, that they are, you know, it's. I think they were founded in 1992. First album comes out in the mid-90s. Massive success in the early 2000s. This song released in August of 2003. I mean, they're regarded as one of the greatest and most influential hip-hop acts of all time.
And I agree with that. Now, the only devil's advocate, which we may have a lot of,
go for it,
is longevity. And maybe, and I'm not jumping up and down with Outkast and don't know their catalog super well, so all that is out front. I don't know a lot of their other songs, you know, did they have a lot of chart toppers and stuff like
you
that?
Know, you know, Hey Ya, obviously. You know, Miss Jackson. You know, B.O.B. You know, So Fresh, So Clean. You know, The Way You Move, also a number one song.
The Way You Move, yes,
as was this one.
Yes.
6 Grammys, 4 VMAs, 4 AMAs, 6 BETs. They should have been first ballot Hall of Famers for the influence that they had on hip-hop in general.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I just don't know a lot of their catalog to contribute. Now, I do have an Andre 3000 story.
By all means, the floor is yours.
I'm actually telling it as a casual observer, but my buddy Ben was in an airport, and if Ben's listening, he may call me later and tell me this. I butchered the story, but he was in an airport, and he saw Andre 3000. Ben goes up to Andre 3000 and says, we went to elementary school together, one of the local schools here in City of Atlanta. And Andre was like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know if we did or not. Ben pulls out the class picture.
Who has their class picture of elementary school handy at the airport?
This is a true story. He had the picture, and he showed it to Andre 3000. You know, the old picture where they're standing in, you know, two rows?
Yeah, yeah.
With the black and white.
No, I follow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said, there's me, there's you. Bingo. And the guy was like, I can't believe this.
That's
and autographed it and everything. It was great.
That's outstanding. You know, from everything I know about Andre 3000 and Big Boi, which is not an enormous amount, but they seem like stand-up dudes.
I think they like to have a lot of fun. And I'll be honest with you, my favorite production of Andre 3000 is when he played Jimi Hendrix. He did a biopic of Jimi Hendrix, and he is amazing.
I have not seen that.
It's awesome.
It's very good to watch that. I mean, again, I'm not going for, you know, as we talked about Iron Maiden being around 40 years and having sold 100 million albums. I didn't look at Outkast in the same way. To me, it was the effect they had on so much other Southern hip-hop music.
Yeah.
And especially being here in Atlanta, it's clear as day, their impact. But Outkast had to make My Perfect Album side. What's next on yours, my man?
Yeah, I'm jumping back into more traditional rock, and we've covered that, so it's not semantics. We're actually getting a little closer. Can't Get Enough of Your Love by Bad Company.
Are you trying to tell me Bad Company is not in the role, rock and roll, is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Are you telling me there's not a single place to rent in Del Boca Vista?
Are you trying to tell me that?
Yes, I am. I'm not trying
Bad
to tell
Company's
you.
Bad Company's not?
I told you. This is Can't Get Enough from Bad Company off the album Bad Company, 1974. What a great time to be alive.
Yeah.
Now, you have to imagine, Steve, how badly I wish I could have put the song Bad Company by the artist Bad Company
from
the
album
Bad Company.
Yeah.
But Can't Get Enough was actually a better song, charted higher, etc. The song hit number 5, and it's the band's debut single, the first song released from their debut record, Bad Company. Great tune, great driving song. Now, is Bad Company putting a string of number ones together like George Michael did? No. But I'll tell you what, it's astonishing they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let me tell you why.
Please.
I put them on my PS because I think, number one, they're one of the original supergroups coming out of King Crimson, coming out of Free. But all of their songs, or a lot of their songs, are radio staples, even still today. Okay? Can't Get Enough, Bad Company, Moving On, Rocksteady, Shooting Star, Feel Like Making Love, Ready for Love, Running with the Pack, Rock and Roll Fantasy, Good Love and Gone Bad, Burning Sky. All massive hits you still hear on the radio today. All right, now let's look at longevity, Stone Cold. Debut record, Bad Company, went number one. And I'm talking Billboard 200 album chart. Bad Company record went number one. Sophomore record, Straight Shooter, went number 3. Third record, Running with the Pack, went number 5. Fifth record went number 5 and went double platinum. That's 4 out of the first 5 records they put out that were all in the top 5.
Okay, so they have tremendous commercial success. You just documented all of that. But again, I'll go back to the effect or the the influence they had on other bands. There isn't a band that was alive in 1978 who wasn't playing this song in their garage. I mean, I'm angry.
This has to meet every criteria, explicit or inexplicit, that the Rock Hall has. Now,
not to mention Paul Rodgers on lead vocalist, we've talked about on the Perfect Album Side before, maybe the greatest rock vocalist of all time, in my humble opinion.
He's up there.
I mean,
and he's widely considered to be on that list. No doubt about it.
He's top five material.
But is Bad Company any less deserving than CCR, Class of 93? That's a big one.
What about CCR's good.
What about Cheap Trick 2016?
People may flog me for this, but I would put Bad Company and Cheap Trick in the same sentence. Absolutely.
Absolutely. What about The Pretenders 2005?
There are people that think The Pretenders hung the moon, and I'm not saying they're wrong.
And they're good. But I don't think they're any better than Bad Company. This song makes my PAS.
Cheap Trick is in, Bad Company should be in.
Bad Company is so snubbed. Put Paul Rodgers and company in the hall. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, once again, it's simply because somehow in my research, I'm there just like you did probably, Googling bands that are in the Hall of Fame and not in the Hall of Fame. And Bad Company, I just didn't even get to them. And how could they not be in the Hall of Fame?
It's a travesty. I mean, we're talking snubs. This is a travesty.
I may have to pause this and just write a letter to somebody. I'm angry.
Strongly worded?
Strongly worded, of course. You know that.
I know how you operate, but Bad Company can't get enough from the album Bad Company makes my perfect album side of bands that are snubbed, and they so are.
I mean, if you're going to call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not include Paul Rodgers and Friends, nonsense. Very good selection. I wish I had made that one.
Well, we've got four songs in out of a potential 12 and not a single overlap. I'm starting to get a little nervous.
This one will not be an overlap, but here's my next one.
Boy, that ruined it.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
All right, Oasis. Kind of like Outkast. You know, when I looked at it and I was like, wow, it's been more than 25 years.
That's crazy.
That was very, very upsetting to me. But I mean, it's actually closer to 30 years. Oasis. I mean, I don't know how they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Again, I think this is they should have been first ballot material.
Yeah. I'm not the world's biggest Oasis fan. They've made our perfect album side before with Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. And I love the version you put out there. I don't see why they shouldn't be. Now, let me ask you this. And we kind of casually went past this with George Michael. I mean, there was some non-music related controversy with George Michael. You know, getting caught up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Oasis doesn't have that kind of exact situation. But they had some off-the-stage drama.
Okay. Yes.
Does that affect these artists?
I don't think it does on paper, but it doesn't help.
Yeah.
But then again, the Sex Pistols, they inducted, you know, they tried to induct the Sex Pistols. The Sex Pistols told them to go fuck themselves.
Okay.
Very eloquent. Guns N' Roses, is, you know, they're in. Axl told them to go fuck themselves, too. But yeah. My point is they've put... or tried to put a lot of bad boys and artists with issues into the Hall of Fame. So the answer to your question, I think, is no. I don't think that has the biggest effect. Now, let's look at this so far. We've got Iron Maiden, British. George Michael, British. Oasis, British. I'm sensing a pattern, which I didn't really think about prior to this. But, again, we got a bunch of Yankees in New York that are putting this together. Maybe it's maybe they're still upset about the Boston Massacre.
I was going to say, wow, that's very Revolutionary War of you. I mean, if to bring up that kind of pattern.
the gentleman from Oasis and Iron Maiden will suffer because of what happened in 1775.
Well, Bat Company's British also.
March 4th of 1775, to be specific.
Oh, what a history major you are.
Yeah. All right. As of this year, this band has sold 70 million albums. Again, statistics not relevant to the Hall of Fame.
It's a really
big number.
But to
sell 70 million albums, they have been cited by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most successful act in the UK between 1995 and 2005. Oasis had 22 consecutive top 10 hits in the UK. They were not as big of a deal in the United States, but in the UK, 22 consecutive top 10 hits.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Insanity.
They had 7 studio albums, 2 live albums, 5 compilation albums, 6 video albums, 22 top 10 hits in the UK, and 7 number 1 hits. That's George Michael-esque.
Very.
7 number 1 hits in the UK. I don't think they had any number 1 hits in the United States, and they only had a couple of top 10 hits. But I think that the panel in New York should consider this as a global Hall of Fame and not just an American Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't picked up on that pattern the way you did. I don't see why this band wouldn't be. And I would think that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would say, boy, they are a first of all, world-renowned band. But look at all the success they had even in their own country. And there's a lot of bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that had home country success, right? Through the roof. It's got to be.
My band was huge in Norway.
Yes.
Huge.
Norway. Well, yes. You're so Scandinavian.
Yes. All right. That was on my perfect album side. What is next, big guy?
Had to be on here. Burden in My Hands, Soundgarden, Down on the Upside, Stone Cold. This is 1996. Now, I hate to break the pattern of no Brits allowed. Maybe it's no Brits and no Northwest Americans. Down on the Upside, 1996, as I said, this album went to number 2. You know, this song itself sat atop Billboard charts, spent 5 weeks on number 1, as number 1 mainstream rock, okay? Making a case for Soundgarden to be in the Rock Hall. This is one of my favorite Soundgarden tracks. I love the guitar in it.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the song again?
Burden in My Hand.
Off of which album?
Down on the Upside.
What year?
1996.
Who played drums?
Do you?
I mean, seriously. I globally renowned podcast. Well, you'd think you would have done your homework.
Well, now, Kim
Matt
Thale.
Matt Cameron was his name.
Kim Thale and Chris Cornell were the only two members of Soundgarden to be in every iteration of the band. Which drummer do you want?
All right, touche.
That's the best I could do. All right, this is one of their many, many really big songs. This was their 5th album. It was huge. Grammy Award-winning Super Unknown came out before in 1994. Of course, their 4th record, and it was a huge hit. Top 20 record on the 200. Fell on Black Day. Spoon Man. Hashtag past topic alert.
Yeah.
Episode 41, Instruments.
Unique what? Instruments. The spoons
the
from
spoons.
Spoon Man.
And the Pots and Pans. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Matt Cameron, your boy, plays Pots and Pans. Black Hole Sun. Okay, now that album, Super Unknown, came out right when the grunge movement was starting to really pick up some speed. And we're going to talk about what I think is holding this band back from being in the Hall of Fame. Bad Motorfinger was 1991 with Outshine, Rusted Cage, top 40 record. The reason they make My PAS is
that's perfect album side for the layperson. PAS.
They were pioneers of that grunge sound. Now, does the success of Nirvana, does the success of Pearl Jam hurt Soundgarden? Maybe.
Well, I know that me as a fan of grunge in the early 90s, I was way into Pearl Jam and way into Nirvana and into Alice in Chains. And for me personally, Soundgarden was a distant on that list.
I agree.
That being said, Soundgarden was the first of all those bands to really get signed by Sub Pop Records. And I know that because they're on my perfect album.
Yes!
So. Boom!
Yes.
I went with Black Hole Sun, but same thing.
Just mentioned. Yeah, they had Ultra Mega OK, Louder Than Love. Those two records were really already in production. They were already out there in circulation. When Nevermind and 10 and Vitalogy, all those
Excuse me.
Nurse?
Versus, yes, Nurse, IV. But I look at this as the Hall saying, look, Nirvana's in it, Pearl Jam's in it. Let's hold on Soundgarden for now. I kind of look at Heart is in it. All right, the Seattle area is getting a lot of love from the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But the other side of it is, as we just mentioned, kind of we were having fun with it, Soundgarden has had a lot of versions and iterations of themselves. I mean, a lot of people have come and go from that band. And I don't know if the Hall looks at that and says, well, it's really only two guys. The rest of the band's kind of shuffled around. That'd be a little petty if you ask me.
The Hall has a history of bands that have had a lot of members of really selecting, okay, for example, Guns N' Roses. You know, they said, hey, Guns N' Roses is in the Hall of Fame, but it's only these five guys or these six guys. It's not the new people. You know, there have been multiple bands where they have inducted the band, but not the current band, or right. Not, you know, not all of the drummers, not all of the nine drummers that were in Pearl Jam are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I think, you know, yeah, they try and narrow it down to the core members, the true ones.
Well, you may be right. Okay, the Stooges are in the Hall of Fame.
The Three Stooges?
Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
Iggy Pop's band, the Stooges, are in the Hall of
Iggy
Fame.
Pop's the Stooges.
Oh, those Stooges.
Wow.
But they should be in the Hall, right? The criteria for making the Rock Hall on their website clearly says, does this band have impact on the development, evolution, preservation of rock and roll? Check. I absolutely think Soundgarden checks that box.
I do, too. They're on my perfect album side of artists that have been snubbed, and I To echo a lot of what you just said, I agree that it's because of bands like Pearl Jam and Nirvana that they are overlooked, in my opinion. The death of course Chris Cornell brought them back into the forefront of everybody's mind, and so I think a lot of people now are like, hey, what the, you know, Soundgarden belongs in there too. You know, as I was researching bands that are in the Hall of Fame and not in the Hall of Fame, there are a lot of people that would agree with us out there in the world that Soundgarden is getting screwed.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, this brings up what we talked about when we got this started with Iron Maiden. Heavier bands have had a hard time getting in the Rock Hall. Judas Priest just made it this year, as we said. Iron Maiden was nominated, but didn't get in. So, it's not been quick. The Rock Hall's not been quick or kind to some of the heavier bands. Now, the other thing I'll mention, Stone Cold, and maybe you were going to say this as well, Chris Cornell's previous band before Soundgarden was Audioslave.
Afterwards.
With guitarist Tom Morello.
Of Rage Against the Machine.
Yes, and it is rumored, which may be a little bit more factual than rumor, Tom Morello is on the nomination committee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is why he's in every performance ever.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
And yet Rage
is not in. And I don't know how they, maybe he has to
recuse. I'm just saying, if I was on the committee, I would vote myself in. That would be priority one.
Maybe he has to recuse. Okay. But it doesn't seem that he's making a case for Soundgarden. So I found that a little bit ironic. But come on, Tom, do your job.
The only thing I could say for Pearl Jam over Soundgarden. Well, first of all, I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, so I love Pearl Jam. They should be, and they are in.
Yes.
Soundgarden, maybe it's, you know, they broke up in 1997. So we're talking about, you know, really 3 or 4 years of their existence in popularity. Maybe that's taken into account.
That's a good point.
You know, they're reunited a few times, but basically, you know, they were only in existence from, I take it back. You know, they were popular from 1994 to their breakup in 1997. But, you know, they started back in 85, 86 and put out EPs in 87 and 88.
Yeah.
So
you may be onto something. That's actually a very valid point. I said that about Outkast. I asked about longevity. Well, Soundgarden may really fall prey to that.
And as much as I believe that Soundgarden should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when we talk about album sales, they sold 14 million records. You know, compared to some of these others we talked about, Iron Maiden with 100 million and so with 20 million. So maybe, you know, that's a little bit smaller, you know, doesn't compete with a Nirvana or with a Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
But their music absolutely had a huge effect on grunge music. It was part of that. They're one of the first bands to ever really make it out of Seattle and out of that movement.
Yeah, yeah. I think they should be in. I think Chris Cornell's his solo career should probably contribute to some of the allure of that, but I think Soundgarden, as you do clearly, should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
VH1 ranked Soundgarden at number 14 on the 100 greatest artists of hard rock. 14.
Not bad.
Not bad. If I may ask, and you may not know, who's 15?
Well, because I'd like to know who all's in the hall of the 13 before them.
Devo? I don't know.
Color Me Bad? I don't know.
Black Hole Sun was my selection. Yours was
Burden in My Hand.
Both by Soundgarden. Hence, Soundgarden will be on the perfect album side.
That's the first overlap I think we've had in a while.
Oh, it feels good to be back.
Gosh, it feels so good to be back.
That was your song. Then it was my song. I think we're back to me as far as the next tune is concerned.
Yeah. No, it's all about you.
Bands that influenced other bands in a massive way. By Sonic Youth.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it when I read that Sonic Youth was not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This one genuinely surprised me. Cool Thing, one of their bigger hits, and all Cards on the Table, my favorite song by this band. We talked about all those bands we just mentioned, whether it was Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam or Nirvana or who the hell were we just talking about? Soundgarden. I think all of them would point to this band as an inspiring band.
Oh, well, you hear the sound of all those bands in this song right here. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say welcome to the perfect album side, Sonic Youth.
No way. I did not think this would be on your perfect album side.
Oh, no.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
No.
That was gosh. I thought you were saying they're on your perfect album side.
No, I'm saying that we've never mentioned them on the perfect album side.
We have not mentioned.
Welcome to some airtime on the perfect album
that
side.
That was premature.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Premature celebration.
I sent the wrong message. Mixed messages, really.
Premature celebration. Cool Thing by Sonic Youth featuring Chuck D from the album Goo. And as far as albums are concerned, the album Goo by Sonic Youth, masterpiece.
Oh, I will be listening to that on
masterpiece
the ride back.
Of an album. Formed in 1981 in New York City, so not a Seattle band, but very inspirational to a lot of those Seattle bands. Founding members Thurston Moore on guitar and vocals, his wife Kim Gordon on bass, vocals, and guitar, Lee Ronaldo on guitar and vocals, Steve Shelley on drums. Like a lot of bands, they went through a few drummers, Jim O'Rourke on bass and keyboards, and Mark Eibold on guitar and bass. We have mentioned Kim Gordon on the Perfect Album side before, as we talked about the Breeders. She went on to be in the Breeders, did she not? Or is that Kim Deal?
That's Kim Deal.
Kim Deal
and her sister.
I realized it as soon as I said it that I was wrong. My bad. Anyway, a massively experimental band out of the eight, you know, they founded in 81, but really hit the mainstream, or as far as mainstream it could go, in the late 80s and into the 90s. This album came out in 1990. You know, they kind of evolved from this experimental new wave thing in New York into a more conventional rock band, kind of that American noise rock scene with weird guitar tunings, weird instrumentation, dueling strange guitars. Like, they did a lot of really cool stuff.
Very creative.
Yeah. When you talk about Alice in Chains with some dueling guitars and whatnot, I think a lot of these grunge bands looked up to Sonic Youth.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you hear that influence just listening to this one song, Cool Thing. And I like Sonic Youth. I absolutely 100% agree. They're not on my perfect album side, as we discovered moments ago. But I think this is an amazing band. And to me, it's got a little bit of a pioneering type flavor to it. You're right. This band influenced other bands, kicked off a movement of sorts that was as big as anything we've seen in music. I think they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You make a great case for it.
Thurston Moore, Kim Gordon, they were married.
They divorced.
But they were married.
Hence the end of the band.
Oh, is that right?
Pretty much. They played their last gig in Brazil and called it quits shortly after that.
Interesting.
They have said they will never reunite, but they were a massive influence on many, many a band throughout the 90s.
And their music spans a lifetime. I get it. But they were together for how long putting out music?
I believe 1981 to 2011.
Oh, gosh. So 30 years.
30 years of music together. Not too shabby. So that was the fifth song on My Perfect Album side. What is next on yours?
I'm approaching song number four. Song number four?
All right, go ahead.
Well, you started, so I would be one behind.
Sure.
This is Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon.
Zevon!
From the 1978 masterpiece, Excitable Boy. Now, this is probably my wild card nominee. You know, every time we do the Perfect Album Side, and this is 51, every time we do one of these, I have a wild card that could go either way. And I really think this might be it for today's episode. It was his biggest hit, Werewolves of London, biggest hit, top 20 off of Excitable Boy that went number 8 on the 200. Now, just quick side note, if you don't know this record, Excitable Boy, as soon as this episode is over, I'm going to be listening to Sonic Youth, Goo. I encourage all of our listeners around the world to listen to Excitable Boy. It is phenomenal music. All right, Jackson Brown, John McVie played bass, Mick Fleetwood on drums, Linda Ronstadt, of course, friend of the program, Jennifer Warnes on backup vocals. Excellent record. But that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about why Warren Zevon deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, Stone Cold.
Yes, we are.
He didn't have, as I've said, he didn't have a slew of number ones the way George Michael did. Okay, he didn't have that.
And Oasis.
Don't forget Oasis, the Gallagher boys. But he had some great music. But I think his impact and influence on the longevity of rock and roll that should get him in. Okay, that's what his ticket to the Hall of Fame should be. I mentioned Jackson Brown, who I would compare Zevon to.
Sure.
Okay. Zevon is just as worthy as Jackson Brown, or perhaps Linda Ronstadt. I said that.
whoa.
Steve says, hold on a minute. Steve is scratching his head. He's regretting ever starting this podcast with me.
I mean...
So tap the brakes on Linda Ronstadt.
I was nodding along with everything you said until the Linda Ronstadt.
Okay,
thing.
I'll tap the brakes on that.
Okay,
I'll tap the brakes. Boy, this is really uncomfortable. Is it hot in here? Can we get some AC in Studio 7?
I mean, good Lord. All right.
Eligible since 94, Zevon passed away in 2003. He's never been nominated. Never been nominated. Steve really is upset that I made that comparison.
No, it's okay. I'll get over it. I love Linda Ronstadt. So.
I know. And I do too. But he's gotten some real superstars to record with.
Superstar.
What's going on here?
Superstars.
I think you're officially in my head. Superstars.
That's better.
To record with. Don Henley, Glenn Frey, those mentioned earlier. Phil Everly, Lindsey Buckingham. Here's why he should be in. Warren Zevon is the songwriter's songwriter. Okay? The artist's artist. The musician's musician. Underappreciated. He deserves to be in. Perhaps his best record was his last record, right before he passed away in 2003, called The Wind. It's a really great record. It's got an awesome version of Knocking on Heaven's Door with Steve Gorman on drums.
Outstanding. Steve Gorman of the Black Crowes.
And more recently of?
Trigger Hippie. Phenomenal musician.
Warren Zevon's got, one second, he's got Grammys, he's got top 10 records, he's got a really long career, he's got a support of just about every other member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't see why Warren Zevon is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and besides, he's got the support of David Letterman.
David Letterman is a huge Warren Zevon fan, and they were friends, and David Letterman has said at any time anyone will listen, nominate this man to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, when David Letterman nominated or inducted Pearl Jam,
he brought it up on that.
He said, "I hope to be back here to do the same for Warren Zevon."
To me, David Letterman is a lot like the E.F. Hutton commercials of the '80s. When David Letterman speaks, I listen.
Well, he would agree that if Ronstadt's in, then Warren Zevon should be in. I'm just saying. He told me that before we went on air. I'm sure that he did. I can't put some more details behind that.
Yeah, I think
that.
Warren Zevon is one of those, you know, annual snubs that at this point, he's not getting in. They've had so many opportunities. They've had many years.
Been nominated, and he hasn't been living for 18, 19 years now. So
that's what I'm saying. He's not getting in.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame.
I've got one more song on my perfect album side. How many do you have?
I've got two.
I'm going to let you go ahead with one more then.
Okay. Dr. Feelgood, Motley Crue. Album is Dr. Feelgood. This is 1989 Stone Cold. A second time on the perfect album side for Motley Crue and Dr. Feelgood.
Episode 4, songs better known for their videos?
Episode title, yes. Episode number, incorrect. It's episode 5.
Oh, well, I was one off. That's not bad.
That's pretty good. Okay. This is the glam rock snub of today's episode. Highest charting hit, Dr. Feelgood, from their best-selling album, Dr. Feelgood. It's the only album they had to hit number one on the 200, but tons of big hits. Home Sweet Home, Looks That Kill, Girls, 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 Kickstart My Heart, Shout at the Devil, Wild Side, Without You, their second highest charting song ever. But just a catalog of big hits, and I think the case against them is what we talked about earlier, that heavy metal snub a little bit. Probably a bit of a snub against the glam rock side as well, Stone Cold. I'll throw that out there. But the case for Motley Crue, get a load of this. What was the number you said for Iron Maiden?
100 million albums.
Motley Crue, also in the 100 million album
100
club.
Million albums.
100 million records sold. 7 platinum or multi-platinum records. 9 top 10 albums on the Billboard 200.
Nine times.
22 top 40 hits. 6 top 20 singles.
Nurse!
Excuse me, Ivy. Studio 7. All right. 22 top 40 hits, 6 top 20 singles. Can you name the artist or band with the most platinum albums?
The artist or band with the most platinum albums.
Yep. Now, if they go here, just for clarification, if they go platinum once, which is a million records, that's once. But if they go, if a particular record sells 10 million copies, that's considered 10 times platinum.
Elvis Presley is what I would guess.
Check.
Is that right?
Yep. You want to go for number two? This would be the easier one, I thought.
The Beatles.
Check.
Okay.
I don't know if you would get number three, but you want to take a... It's not the same genre.
Bing Crosby.
No.
I don't know.
But that's a damn good guess. George Strait.
Okay. Yeah.
Motley Crue was in the first wave of glam metal, along with New York Dolls, Kiss, all that stuff. But phenomenal band, even with all the drama of the band. Now, Motley Crue, unofficial leader Nikki Sixx says, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has flat out told them they will never get in, quote, because of the way they've acted. Not sure I understand that, but Nikki Sixx has said that publicly. The nomination committee is made up of several artists that said their identities are supposed to remain secret. We talked about that, so as not to influence other artists. But the rumor is Dave Grohl is on it. We talked about Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave. Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes.
There we go. That's the Breeders. Never mind. Go ahead.
But Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes is on the nomination committee. After last episode, I'm pretty sure she's not going to be endorsing us to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
Tom Morello, we mentioned him. Questlove from The Roots, about 23 others. But I would say that resume is Hall of Fame worthy that I just rattled off. That's amazing. 100 million sold, 7 platinum, multi-platinum records, 22 top 40 hits.
I don't think that the Hall takes heavy metal seriously. Not until recently with Judas Priest. I don't think they take any kind of glam. I mean, Poison's not getting in, no matter how long they live.
Correct. And Cinderella, I think, not getting in.
And that's nonsense to me.
It kind of is me, too. And I look at Motley Crue as, and here we go again. I can't wait to see how pissed off Steve gets when I say these comparisons. Okay. Motley Crue is as deserving as ZZ Top. Boy. Boy, the shade of red that just completely dropped over his forehead is amazing.
All right, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Van Halen, almost.
Stop it.
Oh, it's not. That comparison is not as far off.
I'm just saying, Duran Duran.
Yeah.
So I'm just making a case for Motley Crue, and I think there are other bands, even if we take Yes and Duran Duran out of the four that I mentioned, then I'm just saying Motley Crue, I think, deserves to be in. They lived like crazy hell kids from the underworld for 10 years.
I think that Motley Crue, right after The Dirt came out, the movie, not the book, had a surge in popularity and interest again. If they were going to get in, it was probably about a year or two ago when they would have been nominated. I think now with the press that they're getting right now with Vince Neil, you know, not sounding too great, not looking too great, I think it's getting harder and harder as the days go on. I hope that Dave Grohl and Tom Morello and Questlove and whomever is on the committee now, you know, gives them a serious look. You know, say what you will about Motley Crue, in my opinion, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I really think they should be. And again, here's a band that had some offstage situations that were very public and very...
But I mean, they're not British, for God's sake. They should be in.
They should be in. I don't think I've had a British artist since you made that comparison.
Well, actually, you're a lot like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nor will I for the remainder of my Perfect Album side. Stone Cold, Dr. Feelgood, Motley Crue, makes my Perfect Album side of biggest Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs.
I did a lot of Googling, as we will do when we're preparing for these episodes.
Sometimes.
And I look at artists that are in the Hall of Fame, that have recently been inducted, artists that are not in the Hall of Fame. This one did not come up on any list. No one has ever said that this artist should be in the Hall of Fame, except for me on this very podcast right now. We talked about Iron Maiden almost inventing a genre. This artist invented a genre.
Watching the sun bake.
I mean, the man straight up invented the genre known as Gulf and Western. I mean, it's Jimmy Buffett. It's Margaritaville. Everyone knows the song. Everybody knows who Jimmy Buffett is. He's never been nominated. He's never won a Grammy. He has sold a good gajillion albums, of course. I don't see him getting in, but in my opinion, he invented a genre, which a lot of country music artists have taken hold of in the last 15 or 20 years. But he has his own genre, and it's massively successful. How could you not look at Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, I said Warren Zevon has never been nominated, and I can't believe that. The fact that Jimmy Buffett has never been nominated... I mean, I'm sorry, that hits the credibility of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you ask me. I can't believe that. And we've talked about Buffett on this podcast many times. I mean, the sheer fact of his concerts are experiences, right? People look forward to his concerts every single year when he stops in their town. How many records has he put out? 35
or I believe more? It's 29 studio albums, 9 compilation albums, 14 live albums, 8 specialty albums, and 67 singles over the last 52 years.
I love it how you said, I believe it's like you were going to guesstimate, and you were so exact. That's a hell of a lot of music. What I don't care if it's compilation, live, reissues, whatever. That's a lot of music to put out there. And he has got a shitload of hits that people know by heart.
Yes.
I mean, no less than 10 songs that just about anybody can sing 90% of.
I believe that's one of the names of his albums, is Songs You Know By Heart. That was his first greatest hit.
There you go,
greatest hits,
man.
Album was called Songs You Know By Heart. You know, his music combines country, folk, rock, pop, Caribbean, all these tropical rhythms and themes, obviously, but he has made that style and that combining all those different elements into one genre, and, you know, Caribbean soul. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, I was going to ask what that genre was, but I think Caribbean soul is probably pretty solid. Almost, you know, Billy Ocean may want to make sure that we're not calling it Caribbean Queen. But I think this is another bold statement. I think of all the music that we've presented, this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame more than anyone else.
Well, I agree. He's on my list. You know, he's sold over 20 million albums. He has I don't know why this is relevant, but he's almost a billionaire because of his music.
20 million albums?
I think that must be a misprint. But, you know, he has turned his music, you know, into a franchise.
Yeah.
Whether it's
great
restaurants or T-shirts or a lifestyle, the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle that so many people glom onto every year and want to live that life. I started thinking about Jimmy Buffett and his fans, Parrot Heads, and it's a cult following every summer when he goes on tour, which made me think of a few other bands that maybe should have been that I should have thought about. You know, we've talked about them before, but Widespread Panic.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 25 years since their first record.
Yep.
How are they not in consideration? Fish.
Yep.
It's been 25 years. How are they not in consideration? There are these bands and artists that have massive success and have cult followings around the world that don't get played on the radio. Widespread, Fish. Jimmy Buffett does to a certain extent, not a huge one. But I think those bands are often overlooked. Your Fish, your Widespread, and yep. Jimmy Buffett.
You talk about the franchise and Parrot Heads. I'm thinking of how many times have I been driving down the road anywhere and seeing University of Margaritaville, okay? You know, T-shirts that say, I'm going to Margaritaville, yeah. Something like that. I think that's amazing. You're talking about Panic. I'll be honest with you. Fish, maybe. I love Widespread Panic, okay? Spreadhead, yeah. Got it. Parrot Head, Fish Head, nailed it. I don't know if Panic would ever get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't know if they will either.
I think they're under the radar. Fish is out there.
The Hall should look at these bands.
I agree. Shame. It's a shame, but unfortunately, I don't think Panic would.
If you've got a following that have heads after their names, Dead Heads, Parrot Heads, Fish Heads, whatever, you should be looked at.
Well, I totally agree.
That should be a criteria.
Dead Heads.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm looking at it like if you present an experience to your fans at every concert, which is what all those bands you just mentioned do, that is instant criteria for the Hall of Fame, if you ask me.
Jimmy Buffett was the last artist on my Perfect Album side. What's the last one on yours?
This might be almost in the same vein, but not. Buffett is
maybe
a little bit bigger.
I didn't love you.
Man, pass the tissues, Stone Cold.
Quite as often as I could.
Always on My Mind, Willie Nelson. Record Always on My Mind, 1982. Album peaked at number 2. The song itself peaked at number 5. Tons of recognizable music in his catalog, but this may be his most recognizable. He's got a lot that people know right off the bat. Went number 1 most of the country charts. So the easiest argument against Willie Nelson is that he's country, not rock. Okay?
I don't think that argument holds water anymore.
Oh, I don't either. I'm about to blow it out. I'm about to blow it out of the proverbial water, Stone Cold. But there are a dozen or more heavy country artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Dolly Parton. She's more country than Willie Nelson. She even said she didn't want to be in the damn Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They still got her in.
I love that person.
Johnny Cash, Bill Monroe, Chet Atkins, Hank Williams Sr. I literally wrote in my notes, that argument doesn't hold water. That's crazy. Have you reading this?
Say that again.
Say what?
That last sentence.
You just said that argument doesn't hold water, and I literally have written down here, so that argument doesn't hold water.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Always on my mind.
We're spending too much time together.
I think so. Always on my mind. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. Crazy. Mama Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. On the Road Again, Pancho and Lefty. To All the Girls I've Loved Before. Tip of the hat to Julio Iglesias.
Yes.
Huge recognizable hits, and the guy has put out, get this, 95 records.
That's impossible.
Well, now, you know, I'm not talking about brand new music each record, but it's just like you said, live records, compilations, yeah. Greatest hits, greatest hits and some that will be, stuff like that.
I mean, he's got a career that spans, 60 years?
Oh, yeah. Most of those records all charted, too, believe it or not. But if Dolly Parton makes it, if Johnny Cash makes it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Willie deserves it. And Johnny Cash had that collaboration with Nine Inch Nails on the re-release with Hurt. Okay, I get it. That put him in the forefront. That was a huge success. But Willie's got big-time collaborations with pop artists like Julio Iglesias, Christofferson, Waylon Jennings. We said all that. I support Willie Nelson getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, this is one where I'm a big fan of Willie Nelson. I love his music.
He should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He is the king of outlaw country, but it's impossible to deny the crossover that he brings.
He is in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, gosh,
he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I agree with that. He actually, interestingly enough, he inducted the Allman Brothers Band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's absurd.
And yet he's overlooked.
10 Grammys, huge Farm Aid guy. I think he started Farm Aid. Was part of it.
I believe he and John Mellencamp were the founders of Farm Aid.
Kennedy Center Honors, Country Music Hall of Fame. That is a huge snub. Get him in. Stone Cold, Willie Nelson, Always on My Mind, makes my perfect album side. And might I hand you my parchment?
Oh, God, why did you do that?
I feel like I'm doing everything wrong today.
I mean, how many times do I have to tell you, don't cut it off by the you left out the last word.
I was afraid it was going to run over into some of my honorable mentions, Steve.
Good God.
All right.
But I've really irritated you today. And you know what? Can we put the music aside for a moment and just kind of clear the air? It's really uncomfortable.
If you're going to end songs early and you're going to rip on Linda Ronstadt, we're going
to
have words.
I did not rip on anyone. Could you please just get to the honorable mentions?
Roll back the tape. All right. Honorable mentions, and then we'll talk about the Twitter followers.
Love
and
the Twitter followers.
What they had to say about this topic today. Honorable mentions, I've got a few. Warren Zevon was one of my honorable mentions. The Pixies were one of my honorable mentions. The Smiths. I don't really care for the Smiths, but it's hard. Once again, British.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, the British are really getting slammed by the Hall. Those were three of mine. I already mentioned Widespread Panic and Fish. Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay.
I almost put him on my perfect album side.
I don't see how I could get excited about Jimmy Buffett and not necessarily acknowledge at least a serious case for Weird Al. It's a different type of music.
I realize it's comedy. I get that.
Well, it's different. Yeah. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in.
He should be looked at.
He should be looked at.
I'm going to start a movement.
Start a movement. Yes.
Weird Al Yankovic for the Hall.
I could get behind that movement. Honorable mentions on my side. I mean, Kool and the Gang should be in there. Celebration, please. If not for this song by itself.
One song gets them in, and this is it.
I'm making the case for it. And Smiler honorable mention only had two. I won't let this play out. This is Fantasy by Mariah Carey. And Mariah Carey should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
First ballot.
Yeah, I mean, she had just as many number one hits as Janet Jackson across the span of her career. She should be in there. Period.
I could not agree more. And every time we come up with one of these, I'm surprised that they are not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, crazy. Right?
Yeah, Mariah Carey absolutely should be in. Although I'm not a huge fan, she should be in.
Yep.
I just wanted to play this song by the Pixies because I love it. Anyway, Pixies were on my honorable mention list. Should I get to the Twitter people?
Go to the Twitter.
The tweeting type folk. We tweeted out this morning, hey, here's what we're talking about. We got some responses. Kate Bush. I looked at Kate Bush as a possibility. Also British, I believe. So
is that right?
Not going to make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Felt like you needed to say that.
Well, at this point, I really am noticing a trend. Our friend from the All Things Blues and Southern Rock podcast, Jason, said the Black Crowes.
I'm actually surprised the Black Crowes didn't make your perfect album side.
Black Crowes, my favorite band of all time. They're not getting in.
Okay.
No chance of them getting in.
Who gets in first, Panic or the Black Crowes?
Boy, that's a tough one, man. I would probably say the Black Crowes, actually, but I believe Panic should be looked at. We also had Iron Maiden was listed as one of the...
Was that the one you said earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Iron Maiden, Kate Bush, the Black Crowes, I think those are the big names that would make sense. I mean, I wish the Black Crowes would get in. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, yesterday was the 30th birthday of the Black Crowes' second album, The Southern Harmony Musical Companion, greatest album of all time, and the 50th birthday of Exile on Main Street. Maybe the the first or second greatest album of all time.
I put the Stones on my honorable mention list. They should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Rolling Stones, really?
Yeah, I think so. It wouldn't be an anonymous, but it would be close.
Let me tell you why I don't think they should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, dear.
They're British. Let's move on.
Boy.
Let's build the perfect album side.
I guess, yeah.
First of all, if we have crossover, they automatically make the perfect album side. And today we had but one, and that's Soundgarden.
So which tune gets on the perfect album side?
Man, you chose Burden in My Hand. I went Black Hole Sun. I could go either way. Whatever you
want. I could go either way, too. Black Hole Sun's probably a little more popular than Burden in the Hand, although Burden in the Hand charted higher. Let's go Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden.
Cool video, if I recall.
As I look at your perfect album side and you look at mine, tell me what I got right, and I will do the
easy.
Same.
Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville.
Wow, Jimmy Buffett is on the perfect album side. Should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was kind of a last minute addition for me. Yeah. So Jimmy Buffett. As I look at yours, man, you have a lot of good choices here, but I'm Willie Nelson should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, interesting.
You have a lot of great selections, but to me, that's the one that just stood out the most.
Yeah, awesome.
That should be on the perfect album side. All right, what did I get wrong?
I don't know if you got anything wrong, so I always hate addressing that. I see another one that I should have put in off your list instantly.
Well, we could go that route, too, because I got one on yours that should be on there, too.
You want to do
it's our podcast. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Part two of what should go in?
Yeah.
Run to the Hills, Iron Maiden.
You made
a impenetrable case for Iron Maiden.
Well, and it was followed up by Twitter, so it's going to be on the perfect album.
I think
side.
It should be.
Yeah. Iron Maiden. And as I look at yours, to me, God, they're all great, but it came down to either George Michael or Bad Company for me, and it's Bad Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Bad Company.
That defines it.
Yeah. We're going to get some shit for this, but Bad Company.
How many is that? Four total?
We got one spot left.
Oh, gosh. We've got some really good music to choose from. I'm looking at your list. I'm thinking Cool Thing, Sonic Youth, Wonderwall, Oasis, Hey Ya, Outkast are still out there.
If you were going to advocate for one of your own.
I mean, if I were to advocate for one of my own, it's either going to be Crew or George Michael. I'm going to go George Michael, Careless Whisper. I just think the number one songs that that guy put together is ridiculous. And that's not even talking about Wham.
Yeah, and if I was going to advocate for one of my own, what I have left is Sonic Youth, Oasis, and Outkast.
Yeah.
If I had to, God, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's hard.
It would come down to Oasis versus Outkast for me. As much as I think Sonic Youth had a massive influence on so many bands, so did Outkast, and Oasis just sold a billion records. So for me, going up against George Michael, because I want, you know, our British folk to be represented, I'm going to put Oasis up there against George Michael. That way we're guaranteed to get one of them. So Oasis versus George Michael, Oasis from 1995 to 2005, no bigger band in the world, 22 consecutive top 10 hits, 7 number ones in the UK.
Wow, that is worth it.
Make an argument for George Michael.
Oh, well, I mean, look at all the number one hits he had. I mean, it was ridiculous. He had 7 or 8 number one hits alone and came out of a successful band, relatively successful. I think George Michael is between those two. That's who I go with. I mean, I'm thinking of the impact on music, and I'm not just going to say rock music, but pop music as well. I think George Michael was there.
And it's rare that I'm going to do this. I would concede George Michael over Oasis at this
really?
Point. Yeah. The perfect album side of artists that have been snubbed unjustly.
Unjustly.
Snubbed. Isn't that redundant? I guess if they're snubbed, it's automatically unjustly.
Mm.
Artists that have been snubbed by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame include Soundgarden. We chose Black Hole Sun. Jimmy Buffett with the song Margaritaville. Willie Nelson with the song Always on My Mind. Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills.
Yes.
Bad Company, Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Gosh, I can't get enough.
And George Michael with Careless Whisper. That is a really good, perfect album side. And all of these artists have been snubbed. But I think all of our nominees...
not just the six that made it onto the Perfect Album side, all of them have been snubbed.
I think we also left some pretty filthy music on the table, too.
We could do a
I feel bad about Motley. We didn't do Motley Crue, Cool Thing, Sonic Youth, Outkast, Oasis.
We could do an entire podcast on artists that have been snubbed by the Perfect Album Side podcast.
Ooh, I actually like that.
That's not a bad idea. good Perfect Album Side, my man. You got anything to add today?
I got it. I mean, I think it's a perfect Album Side. I always love being in the studio, getting this out of the way, and just having fun doing it more than anything, man. Get big. Perfect Album Side. Snubbed.
Later, dude.
So.
This has been The Perfect Album Side. See you next time.